Well, good morning. Good morning and welcome to Bowmansville this beautiful Lord's Day morning as we gather to share at the communion table today. Remembering that today is Worldwide Communion Sunday, where believers all around the world are gathering to remember what Jesus did on the cross for us. So as we enter into this time of worship in song, receive this invitation to enter in. Come, you who are hungry, filled with wanting and waiting. Come, you who thirst for the peace of Christ. Come to the table of the Lord. Come not because you are worthy to sit at Christ's table. Come because you are willing to serve at Christ's side. For the Lord has gathered us here, and Jesus Christ is our host. Come, you who are broken. Come, you who are blessed. Come to the table of the Lord. So would you enter into worshiping in song as the worship team leads us?
Our offering this morning is for the Mennonite Central Committee. And our first song is I'm Not Skilled to Understand. And I think sometimes I read about what the Mennonite Central Committee, MCC, does with the money, how it is multiplied and how it helps people around the world. I'm just amazed at what that can accomplish through the years. So ushers can come forward during the first song, and there's my coins count for the children.
I am not skilled to understand.
Take him at his word. very quickly. I just want to let you know there are baskets in the back and in the front for the Brotherhood Fund. If you want to give to that, they're there. So just keep that in mind. So let us pray. Father, thank you so much this morning that we get to be part of communion, that we get to remember what you did for us. That is a blessing in itself. That I would love to say that's a blessing in itself, but it's so much more. There, you've done so much in that. And today we get to participate in remembering what you did. If you would not have done that, we would have nothing to remember. But I'm so thankful, as we all are, that we can do this today. And Father, I just pray and I just ask that while we do this, we're not thinking about what we're drinking or what we're eating, but we're thinking about what you did. This is your body. This is your blood. This is everything that we have faith in is what we are going to celebrate today. And that is what we need to remember, Father. And I thank you for this moment and this day. And I just pray all these things to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Have you ever met someone and later tried to remember what their name was or what it was that they said? Sometimes we cannot recall the name or the place or even what they said. But something that we usually can remember is how we felt about the way that they interacted with us. We can remember if we felt warmly accepted and valued by them, or if it felt like we really did not measure up to their standards.
When we meet Jesus, it's very clear that we do not measure up to his standard of perfectness and perfect obedience, and that can make us feel a little helpless.
Oh. Romans 3:23 says, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." That is a hopeless situation. Jesus also showed us that he is kind and he's merciful by taking the punishment for the many ways that we don't measure up. Ephesians 1:7 says, "In Jesus we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of sin in accordance with the riches of his grace." That gives us a feeling of gratitude.
And even more, Jesus showed us that he accepts us and highly values us by giving his Spirit and promising eternal life with him. Ephesians 1:13 and 14 says, "And we believed, we were marked with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance." And that gives us confidence.
There's a place where mercy grace, flow deep and love. mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Marvelous grace of our
I'd like to invite the children to come forward this morning for our children's story. Guess I'll be telling myself a story this morning. Here comes my favorite, Paige. No. They're starting to come up now? Okay, good.
Oh, because they're staying back there.
Why? Guess that means you get all the snack. Okay, good. Well, thanks for coming front. So if I show you this, what do you think about when you see this?
We love each other.
Love each other. Okay. So a heart, when you see a heart, you think about love. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. So when I think about or when I see a heart, I think about love also. But what I think about more importantly is
God.
Yeah. Exactly. Because my Bible tells me that God is love, right?
Yeah. God's the most love in the world.
Absolutely. So my Bible also says that we love God because he first loved us.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how much did
he still loves us.
How much did God love us? What did he do for us?
He helped us.
He helped us. He also sent his son. Right? He sent his son who died on the cross.
And we kind of play some games at my school. And we pray a lot at my school.
Good. Good. It's good to pray.
Angels to protect
us. Mm-hmm. That's right. So God sent his son who died on the cross, and he rose from the dead. And because he rose from the dead, we can now live victoriously because he conquered sin and death. So the Bible also tells us that the greatest commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. So is it always easy to love your brother?
Yeah.
Is it?
It
is for you, okay. Good, good. Just keep that in mind all the time. Well, sometimes it's not always that easy because sometimes we get into squabbles and arguments and fights with our brothers and sisters, right?
Yeah, sometimes I do that with my brother.
Sometimes you do that, okay. Now the truth is coming out. But. Yeah, well, we never do anything. Anyway, we also know that if we do have fights and squabbles and do things or say nasty things, we also can ask God for forgiveness, and he forgives us, and then we can move on from there. So remember, when you see a heart, yes, it represents love, but it also represents God's great love for each one of us. Okay? So let me... This is what we're going to celebrate, remember what Jesus did for us. So the bread is going to represent Jesus' broken body on the cross for us. Then the cup will represent his shed blood. And so as we share with that this morning, we're going to be remembering what Jesus did for us.
Are we going to eat that?
We're going to eat that, yes. Persons who have accepted Christ and are a member of this church, yes, we're going to share with that a little bit later. So gonna have a word of prayer and then you can go back to your parents. Just a minute. I want to pray first, okay? Okay, thank you God for these children. Thank you for their energy. Thank you for the way they have a sincere, open love for you. So I ask for your blessing upon them today. And I pray, Father God, that as we go throughout this service, that they would begin to understand exactly what the bread and the cup mean, and they would experience your love. In Jesus' name, amen. So there's a snack here. There's two different kinds in there, so just take one, okay?
Can I get one for my brother?
You can take one for your brother, yes. Well, greetings in the powerful name of Jesus, that name above every name. And welcome to Worldwide Communion Sunday this morning. Before we get into the message, I'd just like to make a few comments. First of all, I'm beginning to understand that you read your bulletins because several of you have approached me about the timeline for my retirement. And I just want to assure you, we're talking years, not months, okay? So you can relax. The timeline to be presented is in years. The other thing I would like to share before we get into the message is it's good to have Dixie with us this morning. She sent me a text this morning that said her mother fell. She's living at Keystone Villa in Ephrata. Her mother fell in the bathroom, had got a nice egg on her head, a lump on her head, but she's doing okay. She's back at her room at Keystone Villa. So I just want to have a word of prayer this morning. Dixie would also like to thank you for your prayers on her behalf. She's feeling better, stronger every day. She's on the road to recovery, and she wants to thank you for your cards, your gifts, your words of encouragement, everything you've done for her. So we just want to pause this morning, thank God for the healing, and also ask for that you'd be with, God would be with Dixie's mother, Sandra Anderson. So join me in prayer. Almighty God, we do indeed thank you for your great gift of love. Thank you for the healing that's taken place in Dixie's life. I pray, Father God, that that healing would continue. I pray, Father God, for Dixie's mother, Sandra Anderson, that as she's fallen this morning, I pray that there wouldn't be any ill effects from that fall, that she would recover, and you would just bless her today. So we just ask for your blessing upon Dixie and her mother, and ask for healing, continued healing, in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Well, again, this is Worldwide Communion Sunday. Today, like I mentioned earlier, Christians all around the world are gathering around the communion table, sharing, remembering what Jesus has done on our behalf. Sharing in the bread, the symbol of Jesus' broken body, and sharing the cup, the symbol of Jesus' shed blood, so that our sins can be washed away and we can be white as snow. So this is all possible because of the attitude of Jesus Christ. What an attitude he's got. Now, if that statement were made about me, what an attitude he's got, it probably wouldn't be meant as a compliment. And probably rightly so, as my attitude so often is self-centered. But when what an attitude he's got is spoken about Jesus, it's spoken in wonder, in joy, because Jesus never had a bad attitude. Even as he was suffering on the cross, enduring the punishment for my sins and my bad attitudes. Jesus repeatedly taught and told his disciples that they were to be servants. But they didn't seem to get it. Just like maybe we sometimes don't get it. Luke's account of the Last Supper, where he shared the bread and the cup with his disciples. It says this then in Luke 22, verse 24. Also a dispute arose among them as to which of them was considered to be the greatest. The disciples had just been given one of the most amazing gifts, the symbols of his broken body and his shed blood. And they're arguing about who is the greatest. Now, I realize that today we're on the other side of the cross, the other side of the resurrection from the grave. But sometimes I wonder if we get it. Do we get? Do we understand what we'll be sharing as we gather around the communion table this morning? You see, as Jesus ministered, he didn't do the conventional. He didn't follow the ways of the law. He followed the ways of love. I believe the deepest desire of Jesus' heart was to teach and to show the disciples and us here this morning what type of life his followers must lead. A life of humility and servanthood. Perhaps that's why Jesus repeated himself so often. All throughout his earthly ministry, he taught over and over that his followers are to be servants, humble servants. And then the Apostle Paul follows up on humility as he writes in Philippians 2. Paul describes Jesus' humility when he calls the Philippians and us to follow Jesus' example by saying this in Philippians chapter 2. Verses 1 to 8. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. But in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. So, my friends, that is a call to servanthood. What an attitude Jesus has. This is a prescription for being a servant. Consider what Paul actually says. Do nothing out of selfish ambition. It's not about you, and it's not about me. Do nothing out of vain conceit. Put away pride and arrogance. Instead, in humility, consider others better than yourself. Yeah, it's okay to look out for yourself, but also look out for others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus. What an attitude he's got. Make yourself nothing. Take the nature of a servant. But perhaps there is a difference between being a servant and serving someone. Richard Foster explains it this way. When we serve, we still have control. We still have the choice about what we will or won't do. We can decide whom we will serve, when we will serve, if it fits our schedule. Is it convenient to me? Richard Foster says when we choose to be a servant, we give up the right to be in charge. When we do this, we find great freedom. Richard continues, if we voluntarily choose to be a servant, then even if we're taken advantage of, which is something that we fight against, then we can no longer be manipulated. This is very radical, and may I add, it's the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit, transforming us from the inside out. If we choose to be a servant and have an attitude like Christ, then we also choose to give up our rights. Just like Paul says Jesus did here in Philippians chapter 2. If we choose to give up our rights, and our rights are something we hear a lot about today, if we choose to give them up, then who can walk over us? In essence, no one. When we surrender and choose to be a servant, then we're surrendering the right to decide who and when we will serve. We become very vulnerable and available. What an attitude he's got. Jesus is calling each one of us to a lifestyle of servanthood, just like he called his disciples to in Mark 10, verse 42 to 45. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus radically redefined greatness. Because earlier in this, in Mark 10, James and John wanted to sit in positions of honor next to Jesus. And the other disciples became indignant. And that's when Jesus called them together for a teaching moment. And this is what he said. "Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all." Jesus did not say you might have to be someone's servant, or you might have to be slave of all. He used the word must. Then in verse 45 of Mark 10, we read this statement of truth. "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus reminds us that he didn't come to this earth to sit on his throne as king, even though he was entitled to that. Instead, he took off his royal crown and became a human being and lived among us as a servant. This shows us the ultimate example of servanthood, as Jesus explains that he didn't come to be served, excuse me, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many, and that includes each one of us here this morning. What an attitude he's got. Jesus' death on the cross is the ultimate example of servanthood. Our call as followers of Jesus is a call to serve God, not out of guilt, but out of joyful obedience to the one who gave his life for us. And as we serve God, We also serve one another. We serve not to achieve any type of gain or recognition. Rather, we serve with humility because it leads to Christ-likeness. Serving others grows out of a deep love for God. And when we begin to understand the depth of God's amazing, powerful love for us, we begin to understand that Jesus died on the cross and rose from the grave so that we can be adopted into his family as one of his beloved children, we will want to obey. We will want to be a servant. Something that I think is very important to remember is this. I believe that you and I believe that we can choose our attitude. We can approach life expecting to be served, or we can approach life looking for opportunities to serve others because that's what Jesus did. When Paul writes to the church at Philippi and to us here today, he says this in Philippians 2, verse 5, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Perhaps he's implying that the Philippians' attitude weren't right and that the attitudes of us here today, maybe some of us, our attitudes need a little bit of adjustment. Verse 8 of Philippians 2 says, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Now, the culture in which we live today doesn't exactly hold up humility as a virtue. It's a me-first mentality that I believe subtly fills our minds, which then affects our relationships. Our relationships with each other, and also our relationship with God. The truth is that deep down in the depths of our hearts, I think we're all pretty haughty and proud. Especially, maybe if we experience times of suffering in our lives, or if we're hurting for some reason. We, or maybe I should speak for myself and say, I can pretty easily get sucked into thinking only about myself and how I feel. No one else matters. And I can justify my bad attitudes by thinking, if I wouldn't have to endure this hardship, this suffering, this pain, this hurt, then maybe I'd be happier and life would be so much better. Where is this humble? Where is this Christ-like attitude that Jesus said I should have? What an attitude Jesus has. And because of Jesus' humble attitude and his willingness to take the punishment that I deserve, it's because of that that I can stand here today after asking for forgiveness for my selfish, me-first attitude and rejoice because my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I will bow my knee and confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. How about you? We can choose to bow our knees today. We can choose to confess with our tongue that Jesus Christ is Lord today. Because my Bible says this in Philippians 2, 9 to 11. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I thank God today that Jesus was willing to humble himself and make himself nothing. Take on the nature of a servant and was willing to be obedient to his Father's will and to die on the cross for my sin. How about you? Because of his obedience, Jesus has been exalted through God resurrecting him from the grave, so that we here today can experience forgiveness of our sin and new life through the Holy Spirit living in us. So this morning, as we gather around the communion table in a few minutes, may we be mindful of what Jesus has done for us. And may our attitude be one of humility, but also one of genuine awe and worship to the one who paid it all. Would you please join me in prayer? Father God, we do indeed thank you this morning. Thank you, thank you, thank you for sending your son Jesus. I thank you that he was willing to lay aside all that he had to be made nothing and to humble himself to the point of death. Death on the cross for my sin, for our sins here today. Thank you that there's forgiveness through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and that we can come to the communion table today with a spirit of humility, but also a spirit of genuine awe and worship. Thank you for all you've done for us. And I pray that as we share in the emblems today, that you would impress upon our minds and fill our hearts with a deeper understanding of exactly what you have done on our behalf. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I invite Pastor Tony to come and lead us to the partaking of the bread and the cup.
Well, good morning. I would like to greet you as well in the name of Jesus. We are here to enter into a time of sharing around the communion table. We are free to come here this morning and share and commune with Christ around the table. There's people all around the world who, if they get caught doing this, they might get sent to prison or be killed. We have been blessed a lot to be able to freely come this morning and worship God. Some people have to do this underground, and their circumstances don't allow them to come openly and freely to join in communion. I'm going to read Luke 22:7-22. Then the day of unleavened bread came, when the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover." "Where do you want us to prepare it?" they asked him. "Listen," he said to them, "when you enter the city, a man carrying a water jug will meet you. Follow him into the house he enters. Tell the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks for you.' 'Where is your guest room where I can eat the Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show you a large furnished room upstairs. Make the preparations there." So they went and found it just as he told them, and they prepared the Passover. Then the hour had come. He reclined at the table and the apostles with him. Then he said to them, I have fervently desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took a cup. After giving thanks, he said, take this and share it among yourselves. For I tell you, from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, gave it to them and said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he also took the cup after supper and said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But look, the hand of the one betraying me is at the table, for the Son of Man will go away as it has been determined, but woe to the man by whom he is betrayed. Just picture Jesus deeply desiring to have the Passover meal with his disciples. And he gives them these instructions, which we will get to join in and partake of. Jesus is taking the bread and breaking it and giving thanks for it. He's thanking his Father for it. And I'm sure the disciples saw him do this many other times, and he gave thanks for the bread and the fish and different miracles where he fed thousands of people. So this isn't something new that they saw. But the disciples were going to experience something different. The meaning behind this was going to be different. When Jesus broke the bread, he told them to do this in remembrance of me. I'm sure they were kind of confused at the time what was going to happen. Because Jesus was telling them that he was going to go and give up his body and die on the cross for all of us. And the same thing with the cup. It is his blood that was going to be spilled out for an atoning sacrifice for each one of us, so that our sins could be cleansed from us and that we could be made whiter than snow if we accept Jesus as our Savior. 1 Corinthians 11, 27 to 29. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sin against the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself in this way. Let him eat the bread and drink from the cup. Whoever eats and drinks without recognizing the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. These verses tell us to not take this lightly, to just go through the motions of having communion, because this is what we do twice a year. We are to examine our hearts and our souls to see if we're living right with God. And if we're not, go make it right. Make yourself right with God and your fellow man. If you hold something against one of your brothers, go and make it right. Because we do not want to bring judgment on ourselves from God, because we did not honor Christ by how we have taken communion. So I would invite Pastor Larry to come forward and help prepare the emblems for communion. That is some very good saran wrap. I need to get that make and model, because that stuff really sticks. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we are gathered here this morning to commune with you. You are here with us. We just remember the sacrifice that you made, sending Jesus to be a sacrifice for our sins, dying on the cross for us. Change our hearts and our souls and our minds this morning, Lord. Draw us closer to you. Move in us as we gather around your communion table. We thank you for this bread and this cup as a symbol that you have given us to help us remember your complete love that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd invite the brothers forward who are helping to serve to come forward, and I do have some instructions for you. Please wait to partake of the emblems until everyone is served and we can partake together.
Alas, and did my Savior bring, did my Savior.
Has anyone been missed who would like to partake in the emblems this morning? Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took the bread and broke it and gave thanks to the Father. Jesus said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Will you join me in partaking of the bread? I would invite the brothers forward to distribute the cup.
Yeah.
Has anyone been missed who would like to partake in the cup? In the same way, he took the cup after supper and said, "This is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Will you join me in partaking the cup? Will you join me in prayer? Our Lord and God, we thank you for these remembrances of the sacrifice that you made for us. I pray that our hearts will be forever changed. Make us more aware of you and the work that you're doing in and through us. Come close to us, Lord. Bring your peace and hope to our lives. Each day, help us to remember your sacrifice. Jesus, bring it to the forefront of our minds so that we do not forget what you have done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. May God bless you, and may God change you. May God pour out his love on you. God bless you.
Stand for the closing song.
Agonies.
So as you leave today, go remembering what Jesus has done on the cross for you. May it be fresh in our minds every day. May God bless you. Now receive this benediction. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you his peace. God bless you. Go in peace. Have a great week.